Yo, welcome to the Two Broken NYC podcast. This here is Johnny Facts, and I'm right here with my boy Axel Flex. Give him a shout out, man.
What's up, everybody?
Today, we're just going to talk about just entertainment. Before that, let's just talk about some, like, real life interactions in New York. You know what I'm saying, Axel?
Yeah, so, what I started telling Johnny about was, let's see, one thing was that Saturday night, I took my girl, my sister, and my brother out for dinner. So, Johnny and I, we don't live in Manhattan itself, but we live in the surrounding area, so the surrounding boroughs. So, we all decided, that is my girl, my sister, and my brother to go to dinner in Long Island. So, we go there, it's about, it's close to an hour drive from where I live, get there. First things first, we got a wait time. You want to guess the wait time, Johnny?
Well, if it's a restaurant, I usually, if it's for me, 30 minutes? 30 minutes maybe?
Yeah. So, it's an hour and a half. Yeah.
Oof. Dude,
That's the warning to everybody out here. When it's a popular place, or popular, just in general, New York's very crowded. It's very overpopulated, so a lot of places tend to have very long wait times. So we get there, we're all like, whatever, we already drove an hour just to get here. We're going to wait and see what happens. So we wait, and then after we wait an hour and a half, right?
Mm-hmm.
They finally call us, so we give ourselves a number. They actually called us when the table was ready. So now we go in. Oh, let me give some context to everybody on this restaurant. This is a seafood-based restaurant. So I guess wherever you guys are located, just think about the prices of seafood in your area and then compare it to what I'll say towards the end of the story. So, but aside from all of that, they call us now to go to be seated. And now, when they're ready to seat us, guess what they tell us, Johnny?
You gonna wait another 30 minutes?
So they say we don't accept credit or debit card.
Wait, what?
How does most people pay nowadays?
Credit and debit. What?
Yeah.
Dude, no, that place is by the mob, all right? That place you went to is owned by the mob, okay? They only do cash-only business because they're laundering money. That's all they're doing.
So now I'm just standing there like, wow, so how am I supposed to pay? Because who walks around with cash nowadays? That's one. And two, you're at a seafood restaurant. The chance there, you gotta walk around with an okay amount of cash, which I know that. So now I'm thinking, all right, we just waited here for no reason. So then the girl's like, oh, but we have two ATMs. You can go and just withdraw some cash. So I say, all right, whatever. I'll go withdraw the cash. We'll eat dinner. And then we just go home. Already not liking the whole start to the dinner, right? So I go over to the ATM. And of course, it is not any bank-related ATMs. It's just one of those generic ones. So guess what that means?
You get those fees. You get those service fees.
So now, on top of everything, I already paid for gas to go there. I got ATM fees. I'm not getting no points back on my credit card for dining. So I'm like, all right, whatever. I'll just take the L. I withdrew the money. I sit down. And the service is slow, to say the least.
Do you know the rating for that restaurant?
They have 4 stars. They have 4 stars, and that's one. They have 4 stars. Two, they're very busy, so I don't understand how it is a such a restaurant with 4 stars and a very, I guess, large audience doesn't accept credit and debit cards. Like you said, you know, we won't put a name for the restaurant at any theories.
Oh no! That restaurant is owned by the mob. I don't want them just like knocking on my door. Just heard you talk about us.
Yes. So, but that being said, if any of your restaurants want a shout out, feel free to DM Johnny or I, and we'll be more than happy to.
Oh, definitely.
But back to the story. So we sit down there, We ordered the drinks. It takes a couple of minutes to come out. So then we place the order for the food. It takes a while to come up. So now, the food is all right, by the way. So in some context of what everybody got at the table, my brother got fried calamari. I got fish and chips. My sister got a lobster roll, and my girl got a lobster roll. So four things, and no alcoholic beverages were purchased. It was just one Sprite and three lemonades. So there's no need to factor in the cost of alcohol in this meal. Which pretty basic drink. So now everything takes long to come out. The food is mediocre to say the best. And I just want you to guess how many pieces of fish I got for my fish and chips, Sean.
You should at least got like eight fishes.
I got two pieces. I mean, it was, the two pieces was a little bit smaller than my, not even as big as my hand. It was, let's say, like half the size of my hand, so it wasn't big pieces of fish.
And it's four stars? You sure it's not a two star? And like someone just like use
a
crayon.
They gave me a lot of fries, but I mean, come on, it's fries. Fries are cheap, so they barely gave me any fish. So there was that.
And how much that alone cost? Is it just that meal cost you?
Before I even give you the cost of this meal, how about you guess the total cost for that, for the four meals and the four drinks? And like I said, it wasn't alcoholic.
Well, they don't sound that expensive. Like, the names don't sound expensive. So I'm guessing they gotta at least up to maybe 80 since four people. No?
126, buddy.
Okay.
So $126 plus my ATM fees. Because let's just face it, that shouldn't have been an expense I incurred. The 126 ATM fees. And terrible customer service. Well, what does that add up to me? That adds up to be like a $50 meal. Mediocre.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Is that the only restaurant in the area?
So there were other restaurants, but everyone wanted to go there. And the thing about it was I drove an hour just to get to that one place. So I guess everyone didn't mind the wait, and everyone was like, all right, we'll just be there just to like get it out and just never go back again. Because obviously we're never going to go back there.
Yeah, dude. I don't got patience like you, man. Like, I would dip after 50 minutes on the line. And if the moment I enter, if I did wait that long, I get in that restaurant, they tell me, oh, cash only. I'm like, really? I want a line for at least an hour and a half. You could have made that announcement and I go get money, but really? And then the food's mediocre?
At least tell me that while you're like, you know, giving me the wait time, like, hey, hour and a half, oh, by the way, we're cash only. At least do that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because we're in the age of just using cards, applications like Cash App, you know, big shout-outs.
So, at that point, I'm like, all right, screw it. I pay the bill. But you know, so one thing I truly hate about going out to restaurants sometimes, though, Johnny?
What?
The tip that you see on the bill.
Oh, the
why should we pay more than like 20%, 22.5%, whatever the case is? Why is the customer responsible for paying this tip? That's what I never understand. I mean, yes, if I was a waiter or a waitress, I want the tip. So for everyone working that job, I can understand wanting the tip, which is why I always leave a good tip at the end. As long as the service is good, I mean, you give me crappy service, I'm gonna give you a crappy tip. That's just my rule. But why? Because I think minimum wage for a waiter or a waitress is actually below the standard minimum wage in New York. I don't know if I'm wrong about that, but I'm almost 100% sure.
I think you're right, because majority service workers in, like, who are waiters get most of their money from tips. Like, it's...
Exactly. Yeah. So now these guys are underpaid. So, yes, you kind of have to, like, not have, like, nobody's going to be like, you got to give a tip or you can't leave the restaurant. But it's, like, it's messed up to not leave a tip. So you feel obligated to. But why can't everyone get paid the fair wage and then tips would be voluntary at that point. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like if you go to Japan, they don't ask for tip because they got they being paid right.
Exactly. I mean, even a couple months ago, I took a trip out to London, and whenever I went out to eat, tips were beyond optional. Like, people don't need tips over there. And it's just because the waiters and the waitresses there got paid an actual, like, wage, you know?
Well, it's a cultural difference here, you know, here in the States.
Yeah, definitely. And that's an expense that falls on us. So I left the tip, and then, safe to say, I will never be going back there. But no, I will not leave the name, just in case.
Just in case mob connections. Just in case that mob connections give you that tap.
unless every single mob beach restaurant in New York decides to come after Johnny and put that in
his Well, hope that don't happen, man. I want to... I don't need that on my bag, man. But nah, that's crazy, man. That is crazy. Like, I can't stand doing all that waiting, and then just like the food is super mediocre, and it's like, and it got a 4-star. Like, yeah. a 4-star, I would think is the food would be great. The food would be great, delicious. It would actually make up for waiting for that. But if you're telling me you order just like fish and chips, and they only give you 2 fish. And then just a lot of fries and that. What did that cost you specifically?
The fish and chips was 20, I believe.
20?
The two items that were really expensive were the lobster rolls. I mean, lobster is an expensive dish on its own, but the quantity of lobster in the lobster roll, I don't think justified the $29 price per plate.
I would charge you $15 for the fish and chips. Now, the lobster rolls, what's the size? Is it like a ball, like if you ball your fist, that's the size of it, or smaller than that?
Yeah, I'd say that's the portion of the lobster. I mean, you know how the lobster roll comes? It comes with like the bread and then the lobster on the inside. They obviously gave it a bit like nicer. It was not no hot dog bread or anything. It was like a decent type bread, but. I mean, come on, it wasn't, I've had bigger lobster rolls for less at certain places in Manhattan. I mean, I've also had lobster rolls for the same price in Manhattan, and they were a lot better. So I don't know why this place in Long Island justifies their price for that lobster roll.
I don't know too, man, but that is, nah, I can't do that, man, I just can't do that. Uh-huh. So let's switch over to our main topic for this episode. So first we're going to talk about just how the entertainment business for Western animation has been leaning towards to goofy kiddie comedy than back in the early 2000s, where you had a range of different genres such as action adventure and comedy, but there's still like this actual plot and the comedy, you know.
Yes, and I think the biggest example we can start off by, Johnny, to give to the audience if they're not familiar with what we're trying to say, is I'm sure most people listening, if they were, I'd say, late adolescents to teenagers during the 2000s, they were familiar with the TV show Teen Titans that aired on Cartoon Network. And Teen Titans back then had a bit of drama, it had the action, it had storyline, character development, everything. Whereas Johnny, you want to describe what Teen Titan Go is, the current replacement to the original Teen Titans animated cartoon.
Waffles, that like one episode, literally just that. Waffles. Dude. I bet all the parents who's watching that with their kids either threw the TVs away or threw the remote at the TV and broke it, because that's the most annoying shit to listen to. It's Like Tea Times Go is, I would say, it's the American version of chibi anime. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, and before you even do some comparisons, were you familiar with Nick Jr., PBS Proud, what was the Disney Channel for kids that used to air in the morning?
ABC Kids?
No, it was Disney had like a specific like program for the kids that used to air like all these like
really Disney crazy. Junior?
Is it Disney Junior? I don't know. Nick had Nick Junior, but in my opinion, what's Teen Titans now? It's content for those types of programming. Back in the days where it would be for more 4 and 5 year olds, not a show for 12, 13, 14 year olds. Come on.
It's the way I look at it, the way they made the show, it's very dumbed down, and
yes,
you eventually, like when that audience grows up, they're not really gonna stick with that show. Like the original series, Teen Titans, you can be at any age watching it and you grow watching the show. Like you're never gonna get tired of it and watch something else because you grow and experience new things.
And I guarantee if anyone's a fan of the superhero genre, the DC genre, they didn't watch the original Teen Titans and cartoon, and they were to watch it right now, they would like, even if they were, if you're not a fan of just like the whole superhero thing, or at least the DC side, if you just want to watch like an action-based cartoon, you would like Teen Titans. It doesn't matter if you're 14 years old or if you're in your mid-20s, you would like that cartoon. Whereas Teen Titans Go, you wouldn't even want your 4 or 5 year old to watch it because there's no content development, there's no mental stimulation to teach them something like some of these kid shows may actually cater to do.
No, like there's no character development. There's no dramatic change. There's no suspense. There's no unpacking an idea for Teen Titans Go. It's very childish, dumb humor, which I won't deny that's successful. You can't deny that the show is successful, got its own movie. But
that's the thing I don't understand is why, at the end of the day, DC Comics, it doesn't cater for that audience, so why does Cartoon Network want to cater to it? Is that what people want to see nowadays? And before you even talk any further and get any further into this podcast, I want the audience to comment on our Twitter, on our Instagram. Is that what you guys are looking for now? Is that that type of humor is what you want to see after TV? Just let us know that, and we'll gauge everyone's opinion from that.
And let us know in detail. Don't just type yes or no. Just detail. Explain why you want this.
Let us know if you'd rather the new Teen Titans Go, the old Teen Titans. Just let us know so we have a better sense. Maybe, you know, Cartoon Network did this research and we're just two guys that are stuck in the past. So just let us know.
Yeah, because from what I'm getting from this is, I think it's because the execs don't want to do the work. Like, it's what they do in Extended Go is very easy for writing standards. Yeah. It's very easy and like it's quick to do than actually writing a story with plot, you know?
Yeah, and it's like what John said, it seems like it's more stupid humor in a sense, or childish humor, which in my opinion is probably easier to recreate or to create than, as Johnny said, character development. But it just goes to show that these shows that are being produced today is not the same as back in the past. And while, yes, you can argue Teen Titans Go is not Teen Titans, it's a different name, at the end of the day, it's ultimately the same characters, which, in my opinion, they should have just continued off the original Teen Titans and then developed further. Because the way the original Teen Titans ended,
it was a cliffhanger.
I think everyone that was a fan wanted more and was preparing for more.
Well, you know something that is right here to all the fans of that show that wants to defend it and just say that we're a bunch of old heads? I'm gonna bring perspective of Teen Titans Go literally have all the assets of the original series, right? Yeah. All the assets, voice actors, designers, everything. And us, the old fans, in the original series, was left with a cliffhanger because it got canceled. And so, years later, when we hear about the news, like they bring back Teen Titans, and with everyone from the original show working on it, and then to find out they just made a kiddie, chibi version of it, is like, really? You can't just finish it off? You can't just finish it off?
Character development, there's no continuation of the storyline. It's just attempts of humor each episode, and it makes no sense to me. Like, why are these producers producing this? Why all cater to this, like, comedic era? I guess that's what it feels like. We're in, like, a comedic era.
No. Don't call it that. Because, like, it's dumb. It's dumb comedic, like, age right now. It's like, because if you watch Thundercats, right? Like, you're a fan of Thundercats, the original series. You watch the 2011 reboot. Thundercats Roar is 2.0 Teen Titans Go. And watching that just... it annoys you because you just want a good written plot. You want a good story.
The thing is, I'm sure it's like this for every DC thing, the Teen Titans. When you think of the show and you want to watch the show, do you want to watch dumb humor or do you want to watch like an actual storyline? And I'm certain everyone's a fan of this, but I disagree with you there that they want to watch something with a storyline.
Because let's look at this. Justice League, when it first came out, featured Batman, Wonder Woman, Superman, Flash, Green Lantern, Hot Girl. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That show went on for 2 seasons and then got its sequel, which is Justice League Unlimited. The ratings was good for it. The merch was good for it. It had a great audience because people was into that. And I'm putting more information on this. Justice League wouldn't happen if there wasn't Batman animated series. First was Batman animated series, then it was Superman animated series, and then Justice League. And all of that, all those shows, was well-written stories.
And in between that, there was Static Shock, and like Johnny was saying, it was all well-written. There was character development, there was story development, there was progression from each episode, there was the underlying villain, you see who the hero is, you see his growth, you see him learn, you see him get stronger, him or her.
You see their flaws. You see
all of this happen, you see their flaws, you see them become emotional, develop affection, all these things that you would want to see in character development, whereas Teen Titans Go, come on, it doesn't fit into that at all.
It fits into meme culture, though. That's what I'm seeing. It fits into memes.
And I guess that's what people want to see, you know? That's why, like I'm saying, everyone that's listening, leave a comment. Maybe you were completely wrong, and Cartoon Network knows that. There's a larger meme audience than there is a fan base for people that want to see character development.
Yeah, maybe we're old heads, you know, and like,
yeah.
Just if we are old heads, just let us know. Let us know we're old heads.
Yeah, maybe we'll give this new show a break and every other new show a break.
Yeah, because I'm not gonna like really bash on Teen Titans Go because it is successful. It's still on to this day. It got its own movie. Even had a Stan Lee appearance. You know, the godfather of Marvel, of Spider-Man, my favorite character in the Marvel Universe. Yeah. You know, it got a cameo from him, which is... It's very odd. It's a DC film, but Stan Lee wanted to get on it. So, okay, they gotta be... If he's on it, then there must be something there. You know what I'm saying? But... I just don't like the direction that for Western animation, they're removing plot and world script stories with drama, action, adventure to just get the quick, memeable jokes.
And you see, I guess there's a larger audience for that, and we just don't know it. But Teen Titans Go was our first big example into this transition.
I got a more present one too. Do you remember Ben 10?
Yes.
Like Ben 10 had, like the original series had jokes, right? Jokes that when we was like 10, 11, could we relate to, but also it did have a plot. It did have a little drama. It did have moments of suspense where is Vilgax going to get the army tricks? See you next episode, you know? And the show was, that original series was very successful to have Alien Force, Ultimate Alien, but then once it reached over to Omniverse, which came out, I believe, 2016 or 15, if I'm wrong on that, someone correct me in the comment section. You see in Omniverse, we slowly start redacting a lot of the lore they put in through Alien Force and Ultimate Alien. They started rewrite the series back to its original first season, right? And start going very goofy with it. Like they started changing Ben, who matured throughout previous series, to be a bit more childish, you know? And then
so you're pretty much correct me if I'm wrong, because I ended up not watching it because I saw the alert that there was going, but they pretty much took up the Teen Titans Go alert at that point.
Yeah, because after Omniverse, it went on to Ben 10, the reboot, and the reboot is just jokes. It's childish humor. It's not like the original series, which like it had the jokes, but it did have actual plot. It did actually have like Ben working through whatever his flaws were. In this one, it's even when you look at the design, very childish, very look like child safety. Like if you were selling toys, you would not think your kid's gonna get hurt by the toy.
And you know that's the common trend there. So Teen Titans Go has that child-looking cartoon, whereas if you watch the original Teen Titans, everyone looked a bit more adult-like. I mean, they looked more like teenagers, but the other characters looked more adult-like. Everything looked adult-like. Same thing with the original Ben 10s. And now they're just going over to this. It's cartoonish plot, cartoonish design. And I keep bringing up this reference of the change in Pokemon, but season one of Pokemon. I know I touched on this on the episode two, but I'll bring that back up too. But, it had current character development with Ash, with Brock. You saw the character affections, and look at the design. I'm not even gonna touch on the storyline because there's so much else to touch on. I know we touched on this before, but the design aspect. If you look at how Pokemon was designed in the past compared to now, it looks very, the characters look way more childish.
Yeah, which is, I find that to be odd for Pokemon to do that because the audience that buy their games is everyone, literally of all age group, buy Pokemon games. So,
think about it too, Pokemon isn't really catered for 5 and 6 year olds because, trust me, if a 5 or 6 year old picked up a Nintendo gaming system and they picked up a Pokemon game, those games are actually very complicated in a sense because there's a lot of reading required, a lot of thinking required. It isn't a game that 4, 5, 6 year old can just pick up and play.
Yeah, no, it's a strategy game.
Thinking behind it, and it is a strategy game, and because of that, the audience is a lot more grown, so why, once again, go the same route that Teen Titans is going, where the original audience is older. Same thing with Ben 10. The original audience is older. They'll still be interested. Why abandon that audience in what they want for this new audience of 5 or 6 year olds, especially when Pokemon games don't cater to them? I mean, the whole, like, DC universe doesn't really cater for kids that age. It's a bit more developed, especially due to the complex storylines.
Well, you know, since we talk about anime, you remember Yu-Gi-Oh?
Yes.
Yeah, so the current Yu-Gi-Oh right now is Yu-Gi-Oh 7s. And this one
and
is...
And it followed the same exact trend of Pokemon, didn't it?
It did. It did. Like pretty much the main characters are in, I believe, middle school. A lot of its episodes are typically in the middle school, right? And that the dynamics of the game, right? They made it simpler. So now, remember the dual disc had 5 slots for you to summon your monsters, the magic cards, trap cards. They now changed it to 3. And yeah, they changed it to 3. They made everything simpler because previously, as the game went on, it got more and more complicated. But that's because it has more audience.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, so Yu-Gi-Oh is going the same way with that as well.
So the characters look very childish, and they're making the game easier to play.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And you know the crazy part is I was a huge so the original Yu-Gi-Oh, Yu-Gi-Oh GX, and Yu-Gi-Oh 5Ds was a huge fan of those shows, and they had everything that we described in Ben 10. They had everything we described in Teen Titans, everything we described in the original Pokemon. There was character development, character growth, character affection towards other characters. It was never one of those shows that catered towards childish humor. And the Pokemon, the Yu-Gi-Oh card game, in my opinion, is very complex. There are thousands of cards that does different things, and you can align them anyhow to create your strategy and your own personalized deck to play against others, making it one of those games with unlimited amount of combinations as to how you can set something up.
Dude, I'm going to tell you one major change they did that's going to surprise you. So, you know how when you start the game, you pick one monster, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I summon Karibo. And I lay down my two cards. Boom, right?
Yeah.
Yu-Gi-Oh 7? I summon three Kribos. Three. And you can instantly sacrifice all three of them to have your evolved monster. So that's one of the changes. So they really made it simple.
Yeah, no, I definitely gotta look into it. I saw how childish Yu-Gi-Oh started to become. And once again, I did the same trend in Ben 10. I didn't bother because I don't want to ruin it. When I was a kid, Yu-Gi-Oh was my favorite cartoon. Like, nothing topped it. I have thousands of Yu-Gi-Oh cards. That was a huge fan. And when I say it's complicated, you know, I mean, to be honest, Johnny, do you think you didn't explain to anyone how to play Yu-Gi-Oh? It's not simple. It's so much strategizing involved. It's more complicated than Pokemon, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, no.
Because of the quantity of cards and the quantity of competition you can put out. So how do you take something, and you look at these Yu-Gi-Oh tournaments, they're grown men, you know? They're much older, late teens, early 20s, heck, some might even be older than that, that's playing these tournaments, watching the TV show, buying the cards. Why drift away from that audience to get to the 5 and 6 year olds? Is it, there's that much kids nowadays? Is our generation just pushing on that much more kids than anything else? There's a larger audience of 5, 6, 7 year olds than there is of adults nowadays?
It may be. It's weird. Is that the asshole say about it. It's weird because even if you market to that age group, right? To the young kids from 5 to 7,
yeah.
Right? You're not really marketing towards the kids, you're marketing to the parents. You know? When you market to teenagers, they got jobs, they got money, they can now really participate in the market, you know? Funko Pops are
let's not even go that far, right? Pokemon, right? I probably started watching that when I was 5 or 6, right? Probably returning.
Dude.
So I'm watching Pokemon. I just want to give a reference. Right? I'm 5 or 6 years old. I'm watching Pokemon. This is back in the Indigo League, if I remember correctly. Ash, whatever. I go to Toys R Us, I see some Pokemon cards, convince my mom to buy it. You know, end of the day, she buys me one pack of cards and shuts me up. I'm getting a little bit older, right? So now, I guess Ash is out, he's in the Hoenn region, so he moved from the Indigo to Johto League to Hoenn. Now, I have the Game Boy Advance SP, whatever it's called. Actually, Game Boy Advance SP to be exact.
Mm-hmm.
I realized that there's Pokemon games for the Game Boy Advance. This whole time, I continued watching Pokemon because the show was growing with me. Right?
Yeah.
And I'll pause there, right? The show is growing with me. 5 or 6 years old, I was watching a show called Dora. Right? I showed on Nick Jr. I'm not going to deny I didn't watch it. I watched it.
Dora.
Before we even get to the comment, right? Here's the thing. At the end of the day, once I left pre-K and kindergarten, the whole genre became, it didn't appeal to me.
Because you was older.
And followed me. So now I'm in. Yeah, no, but here's the thing. This is I'll show you the reference I'm trying to draw, right?
Okay.
So now I get to 3rd grade, I get to 4th grade, I find out about the game on the Pokemon games for Game Boy Advance, right?
Mm-hmm.
I buy that. I'm still buying Pokemon cards. I'm getting older. Even in middle school, I'm buying the Pokemon games for the DS, right?
Mm-hmm.
Heck, I mean, the 3DS came out a couple years ago. They remade Pokemon Ruby, Pokemon Sapphire. I got those too. The fan base kept me alive all this time. If a Pokemon game, Pokemon movie drops now, do you think I'm going to get it? No. Do you know why? The show doesn't cater to me anymore.
No.
And here's the thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. Teen Titans Go, Ben 10, the new Ben 10, that is, the current Pokemon, the current Yu-Gi-Oh, if they're catering to an audience of 5 or 6 year olds, when they leave kindergarten or pre-teen, the same way I did, what's the chance of them abandoning these shows? Very high in my opinion.
Yeah, because you gotta create substance. You can't just make quick, easy jokes.
That's a reference. I couldn't think, unfortunately, I'm going to con everyone that's listening about Dora for the rest of my life from Johnny, but I couldn't think of a name of a show that I used to watch at 5 or 6 years old from the junior besides Dora. Yeah, sucks for me, but yes, and to anyone that's still watching Dora here in your 20s, sucks for you too. But what I'm trying to say here is shows like Pokemon, shows like Yu-Gi-Oh, because of the substance, you felt like it was okay for you to watch it as you continue to grow and get older. And I think they're losing that appeal because the kids, when they go past 2nd grade, they go past 3rd grade, they get to middle school, the humor on Teen Titans Go isn't going to appeal to them anymore.
Yeah, no, and...
And that's where you lose your audience. If they're purchasing merch, you lose the sale of your merchandise. You got to keep marketing to these little kids, and here's the thing. I feel like parents are canceling their cable bills, you know, so how are these kids going to even discover these shows, whereas, you know, if you capture them young and you draw them in and you want it and you keep them in, they'll continue, I guess, word of mouth, spread the name of the show, and they'll just continue, even if you can't capture the audience, you have an existing audience that'll keep following the show. My logic can be wrong, but do you agree with me on that, Shani?
Yeah, no, I see that logic.
For everyone that's listening, do you agree with that reference that I got? Do you think that's completely wrong and what they're doing is right? Because more people want to see this childish comedy. And maybe it's not childish to anyone else. You guys think it's actually funny. Because I do agree, everyone does have different points of views, especially when it comes to TV shows and movies and things of that nature.
Yeah, and you know, I got another question. For all the Yu-Gi-Oh fans, which series was your favorite series? You know, because mine was 5Ds. You know, 5Ds was just the story where, if you notice with 5Ds, it's literally the get-out-the-gutter storyline in movies. Like, yeah. One friend betrays the group, Lee's gone famous, and the other guy stays in the hood. And so he has to... Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's a more relatable storyline to us New Yorkers,
Pretty much. That's yeah. New York story, man. New Donald City versus old Donald City. Come on, man. The rivalry.
Like, 5D, in my opinion, has the best storyline, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the nostalgia from the original Yu-Gi-Oh, I just can't replace that.
Because it has Joey, man. Joey represented, okay?
He represented New York, man. To anyone that didn't catch that, I don't know how you didn't catch it. Joey represented New York.
Okay, if anyone is listening right now wondering how New Yorkers talk, go watch the original Yu-Gi-Oh! And listen to Joey, man. Brooklyn all yeah. day. So,
but yeah, I'd definitely say 5D had the better storyline, but the original Yu-Gi-Oh! It's my favorite just because of that nostalgia. And they started what was my favorite cartoon as a kid.
Dude, I ain't never missing that. I never missed the episode of Yu-Gi-Oh! Whenever it was on Saturday morning on WB, watching it.
Yeah.
Watching
it's
it.
The same thing with me. Like, and that's the amazing part. Yu-Gi-Oh! Captured me from... I discovered Yu-Gi-Oh! In second grade, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then it captured me from their second grade. Throughout elementary school, Yu-Gi-Oh! GX came out towards the ending of elementary school, if I remember correctly. Towards middle school, and then 5Ds aired from middle school all the way to high school, so they pretty much had me as an audience for, I'd say, what is it, like 10 years of my life, at least, because you think in elementary school, you think in middle school, you think in high school, it's all 5Ds aired, like, that's how good the show was.
Yeah, nah, you grew up on it, that's what it was, you grew up watching the show, and... The fact that like the writing just gets better for it, like the writing for 5D constantly improves itself. It never had a moment where like it died down.
And like you said, the character is so relatable. Like this guy's trying to get out pretty much of the hood, you know, get out of the ghetto, get make something of his life, become the best. Like he's trying his best to do this.
And just for more context. It started out with four people, all right? One betrayed a group because he wanted to get money like that, became famous, and he just closed the hood, make sure no one could get out. We have one member that stayed to go take care of the young generation who didn't have parents. And then you have one that died. You gotta have one that dies, and it was the original leader of that group. You just have to for that story. And then you have the underdog character, the main character, Yusei, that went to jail. Just to let you guys know. Just to remind all the old fans, he went to jail for a little bit. Got tied up, you know what I'm saying?
Dude, I kind of want to rewatch this show. No, it's good.
So, in the comment section, just all the fans of Yu-Gi-Oh! Just tell us what is your favorite series of Yu-Gi-Oh?
And tell us, are you okay with the direction Yu-Gi-Oh's taking now with their new TV series? Or do you think they should go back to the old days and stick with the 5D route?
Yeah.
And it's amazing, you know, because, you know, even not talking about Yu-Gi-Oh and Yu-Gi-Oh 5Ds, up until we were in high school, which was, you know, like the 2009 to 2011, 12 era, cartoons are still putting out things with content, with character development, because even Pokemon is putting out the same thing. I think Ash was in the Sinnoh region, so...
It was Black and White. Black and White was during high school. Then, okay. After Black and White, XY and XYZ, I stopped watching XYZ when I read the rumors that Ash was going to lose again, even though the beginning of X, Y, and Z made it look like he was prepping up to finally win. And I was like, yo, that's bullshit. Until the next one, which is Aloha, and he won that one, which is like, yo, that's the kitty version of Pokemon, and I'm mad they did that, because X, Y, and Z was at, to me, it was where Pokemon was really at its most, like, edge, to me. Because they had the cool-looking Pokemon, it had Ash finally get himself a nice team of badasses, and the way the show made it look like, you thought he was going to win, but they did, but then all...
You know, my favorite, I guess, storyline in Pokemon was the Hoenn region. Specifically after the Hoenn League and going on to the Battle Frontier, that was actually my favorite.
Are you talking about Advanced Battle? You talking about when he meets May and Max? That one?
Okay, so May and Max is the Hoenn region. Correct, right?
Mm-hmm.
He goes to the Hoenn League. He gets beat by a guy that has Meowth. You remember that dude?
Beats by a dude with what? Meowth?
Yeah, the guy had a Meowth that can use like Thunderbolt, Iron Tail, in the Hoenn League.
Okay.
Yeah, he gets beat there, but then after that, he goes back home, and then he enters to be in the Battle Frontier.
Ah, okay.
And that's in the Battle Frontier is where his Charizard battles the Articuno.
Okay, now I don't need to talk about it. I need to talk about
So that arc in particular was my favorite, the Battle for Fair arc.
Okay, so new question for the audience is, which Pokemon series was your favorite? But if you guys about to say, if anyone about to say, like, Aloha, and like the fact that Ash won, just take yourself off the group. Just take yourself off the group. You don't need that.
No. Do not take yourself off the group. He's joking there. We can use all the listeners and group supporters that we can get.
So yeah, I'm just joking.
Just disagree with us. Just disagree with us. That's all.
I'm just joking. But just know that when I read that comment, I'm wagging my finger at you. Shame. Shame on you. Alright? So, okay, let's jump on to our next topic where we just talk about sitcoms. Let's talk about sitcoms, live act sitcoms.
So everyone that's listening. So first, we talked about the shift in cartoons from being serious to now having some type of sense of humor. I don't want to call it a stupid sense of humor, a childish sense of humor, but a sense of humor. So that was topic one. Topic two is the actual comedies changing to become more, to have drama and be less funny or not even funny anymore. And I guess our way to start that off and to give the example that we're trying to draw, it would be Tyler Perry, House of Pain. And I'm sure everyone that watched it can agree the show started off as a comedy. It aired on TBS, which everyone can agree that was like the comedy channel of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it was being aired there. It was a comedy show. You get home from work at 6 p.m., 7 p.m. when it's about to start. You go and chill. You go and watch the show. You go and laugh at Curtis. You go and laugh at like the stupid stuff they do. So, Johnny, you want to describe what it ended up becoming?
Okay. So, the first season of Tyler Perry House of Pain was simply comedy mixed with family love and a perseverance to just have a good outlook on life, right? It ends, the last season ends with simply, hey honey, you ready to go to our anniversary? I'm sorry, Calvin, I can't do this no more. I'm leaving you. What? No! And to end it, that's it. It ended with a super dramatic no ending for a sitcom, a family comedy sitcom. Like,
and before we even go to the ending, which I think the ending is the biggest change, where it went from, obviously there was certain drama.
Like the show had drama. The show like already had the drama.
The show always had exactly, you know. But at the end of the day, it was comedy based, but it went from being comedy based show with some drama and some story development into straight drama. One of the main characters in the show, Calvin, he ended up getting shot. From there, he had a vendetta. His father had a vendetta against the cop.
Well, let's not just jump there, because Calvin, the most beloved character of House of Pain, during the last season, he went through so many goddamn troubles. Like, he got married. Marriage was on the rocks, almost got divorced, right? Found out he has a kid. Found out his baby mama didn't want his kid to be involved in his child in his father's life. So he had to go to court, fight that off, right? After that was done, guess what? His whole place got set on fire because of an accident. So they'll get homeless. Then we're gonna have he got shot. Then we're gonna have he had a little bit of a drug problem because he was going a little heavy on the pain meds. Then after that, his wife at the end left him on the anniversary. What the hell is going on?
Yeah, and there's the shift. There is the shift. They went from comedy to drama 24/7. No sense of comedy. And you have these cartoons which had some drama, and now they became comedies. Like, what is going on here? Is there's no consistency across the board anywhere.
No.
In my opinion, there were certain Tyler Perry shows that were drama based. So there was
For Better for Worse.
One of them. For Better for Worse. And Blowing Was Wrong. Like, these are drama based Tyler Perry shows.
The Have and Have Nots.
Yes, The Have and Have Nots, yes. But these are the Tyler Perry shows that you want to watch for the drama, for these types of storylines. When you turned on House of Pain, that was not what you wanted to end up seeing.
You wanted to laugh. You wanted to see Curtis just make light of a serious moment, you know? Like, dude, in the first season, when Eugene... What was her name? The wife with the drug problem? Her name was Eugene, right?
I was trying to remember her name. That was the reference of drama I was going to say that it had in the beginning of the show.
So,
but I don't know why I couldn't remember her name.
So, yeah, so the mother of the show, right? She had a drug problem. She had a problem. She had a problem with a drug called cocaine, right? No, crack. She burnt down the family house, so CJ, Malik, and Jasmine has to go live with Ella and Curtis. And while living there, Curtis is just like making jokes just off the rip about like, yo, how your wife just burned down your house, bro? And then Malik's like, dude, there was one episode where Malik was going through it at his school because his friends found out his mom was a drug addict, and they gave him a note full of jokes, and Curtis took the notes and read it. It was funny. He was like, hey, you know, so these kids are funny though. I can't lie. Why did the crackhead cross the road to get some crack? Well, that's lazy. That how many crackheads can screwing a light bulb? None, because they're gonna steal the bulb. And it's like, oh, okay, I see something in these jokes. It was like, yo, I was cracking up.
Yeah,
I was cracking up.
They had the humor in the drama, whereas towards the end, in my opinion, there was no humor in the drama. Man, it was just Calvin struggling, and like you felt. I think the audience that stuck around just wanted to see the struggle end for him, or they wanted to see his development.
And to see a happy ending, we was rooting for him. It's like, come on, Calvin, get your nerves together, man. Come on.
The original audience, and I think the larger audience, didn't get to see the laughing show that they the humor that they wanted to see from the beginning, the one captivated them.
Nah, because, dude, remember the episode where Malik joined the cheerleading squad?
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was after him on that. Everyone was just like, you joined, You joined the cheerleading club? Well, yeah, I mean, that's how you girls, right? No, you joined the football team. Or remember, dude, whenever Curtis is with Calvin, he's always like, man, when are you gonna go leave my place so I can walk around my house naked, man? Remember?
Curtis had no chill, but like, the guys, so like, I can't remember the girl's name in the show, the one that...
I think it was Junie or something like that.
Junie? Nah, I don't think so.
Someone in the comment section, let us know. Cause that's gonna bother me for a while.
I don't know why I can't remember, but whatever her name was, we'll just call her the crackhead for this episode. Like, the crackhead had two kids and a husband that's living with Curtis and Ella. And whenever Curtis had to mention her, he would just call her the crackhead. He had no chill, he didn't care, the kids, and it was just humor, no one took it offensive.
Dude.
But if anything was said in the last episode, I'm sure the character would have took it to heart, and he would have made it like that in the show, because he was just making it too dramatized.
Because, dude, when the mom came in to see Ella, and then she left, and Ella told Curtis, he immediately was like, yo, did she take anything?
Yeah, no. I think that's things like that is what's really confusing me with the current entertainment industry, because they're shifting comedies to drama. They're shifting drama to comedy. So, like, where's the trend? Where's the consistency? Where is that? I started the show for this. Why is it changing? Like, you know, what's going on here?
Dude, Comedy Central.
Like, I know we're asking you guys to comment a lot of things, but I want you guys to also comment on that. Have you been noticing this trend with shows that you've been watching? Like, what shows do you watch that you've noticed either a shift from plot development and storyline to childish humor, or like, you know, more mature humor to just straight drama, or whatever shift? Just let us know the show and let us know the corresponding shift that you've seen in that show, and we'll take a look at it ourselves.
Yeah, like, I got another example. Comedy Central, okay, right, has BoJack Horseman, which originally aired on Netflix. BoJack Horseman is an animated show, but the humor in BoJack Horseman is like, I won't say dark humor. It's not dark humor, but it's sad. It's sad humor in a way. And it's on Comedy Central, where you had Chappelle Show. You had, what was that? Well, Broad City, right? You had shows like, let me see, what was another show? Shows like South Park.
Yeah.
Funny, you laugh, but BoJack Horseman is on Comedy Central. That, I don't know why they decided to do that, because it's like, you know, it's not funny.
Do you think it's because that merger with Viacom and CBS merging back? Do you think that made the shift? Or, you know, I think things like that, like when these, I guess the owners or the producers do a split or they do a merge with other producers. Do you think that affects the overall show? Because now the execs is like, yeah, we want the show to take this route, or we want to bring in these types of shows, or whatever the case is.
I think
that plays a big part of everything.
I say yes, because if they're doing that, right, I would imagine there might be a couple of, like, changes in the people that runs those shows. And since you have those changes, you're always going to have a change.
Different opinions, creative differences, and all these things. But, you know, all right, so I guess Comedy Central is one instance of this happening. Maybe, possibly, it can exist that, you know, this the merger of Viacom and CBS may have caused this. But shows like Pokemon, or Yu-Gi-Oh, or Perry shows, do you think that that's also the cause? Maybe the switch from, I guess, like Tyler Perry, for instance, or from TBS to, I think, did it go over to BET or did it go straight over to OWN?
It went to TBS, then it went to OWN, and I believe now, they're doing BET because they actually brought back the show House of Pain for its ninth season, and it's on BET.
Got it. So you see, I don't know if that's causing them, but then, I mean, to go back to the cartoons, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's always been Cartoon Network, you know what I mean? So what's causing the change there, you know? And if anyone that's listening has a theory, because now, as of right now, Johnny and I's theory, just based on our conversation, this is a complete theory. We think that the changing in the producers is what's causing this, or the executives is what's causing this. But, I mean, you have these amazing cartoons, you know, the Ben 10-based cartoon. What do you guys think is causing this change? Just let us know in the comments, and we'll see what your theories might be on this.
Yeah, because, like, I was even Cartoon Network, right? You remember Boomerang? Like, Boomerang originally was where you can watch all the old school, like, I'm talking like the Flintstones, the Jetsons, old school shows, the original Scooby-Doo, on. And it had no actual, like, commercials. The only commercials they have on is they originally make to promote the next show they about to promote.
Yeah. But it's pretty much like a 15, 20, maybe even 30-second, like, break in between an episode and start right back.
Yeah, Boomerang is pretty much TV Land. It's TV Land for old Western animation, old cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
But what they did now is Boomerang now has ads commercials, and it has shows that came out, like, say, 3 years ago on it, because it's considered old. But it's not, like, old, like, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years ago, you know?
That makes no sense to me, because when I picture Boomerang, I didn't even know they did that change. I used to always picture, like, all right, maybe now they can start airing the original Yu-Gi-Oh! Or, like, the first episode of first season of Pokemon or something like that. I think that would make sense if you agree with me there.
They tried that, but then they just completely just, like, brought shows that, like, Johnny Test, right? That show came out, like, middle school for us. They start airing that show on Boomerang. They start having actual commercials, like actual commercials that's for Spectrum, commercials for products.
Mm-hmm.
Completely ruining the whole, just like Boomerang, we're bringing it right back to you. You know? That model.
Yeah. And, that I don't agree on at all. And I guess that's their only way to continuously increase revenue, because they may be losing subscribers and subscribers are moving on to streaming, which might tie back to one of the cons of streaming from our last episode, that, you know, because it's growing TV channels that had where the appeal was minimum advertisements now have to have more advertisements just to continuously fund themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that might be one thing there, Johnny.
Yeah, and I just thought of another show that got messed up, like, in the current years, which is Shaolin Showdown, right?
Yes.
I believe it had four seasons on WB.
Mm-hmm.
They brought it back, I believe, 2015, 2016.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm wrong, let me know. They Shaolin Showdown was originally on WB, on the CW network, right? Disney bought Shaolin Showdown, but didn't have all the rights to it, and put it on their channel, which was, I think, Disney XD, was called.
Yeah.
They changed the name to Shaolin Chronicles, and, dude, I'm going to tell you right now, if you think that show is like season 5, it's not season 5. It's like a, it's pretty much like a reboot. But they changed the name to Shingon Wu, because they don't own the rights to those names. Mess with the characters a bit, make them a bit more goofier. The plot makes no sense, and it only was around for one season.
If I remember correctly, they ended up having to finish the show on Netflix because they got dropped on Disney. I'm not 100% sure on that.
You talking about Shadow Shota?
Yeah.
I don't remember being on
that. I think, because Disney XD picked it up, but then I think they had to finish it on Netflix. I can be wrong there. Maybe in certain countries they ended up finishing it on Netflix. I know I read that somewhere. It might have been on like a Wikipedia page or something. But I'm almost positive somewhere they had to finish it on Netflix.
And, you know, even got another one. Remember Kodioko?
Mm-hmm.
Yo, Kodioko, I think, had 3 to 4 seasons, right? The Netflix brought it back, but here's the thing. Kodioko originally was a 2D animation mixed with 3D animation show, right? So Netflix decided, you know what, why do we gotta draw these characters? Why can't you have real actors portray these characters? So it was live action mixed with 3D animation. Went on for one season, and all I'm going to say is that no need. There was no need for that. It didn't. I'm a huge fan of Kodioko, and it did not satisfy me, you know? But anyone that did watch it and they do enjoy it, give me your reasons why you enjoyed it in detail. Don't just write, well, I like it. I don't know about you. Maybe you got bad taste. Don't just give me.
But you know something, there's this big shift in our Western anime, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then if you go over to like the Japanese anime, the biggest example that I can give, One Piece. To anyone listening, One Piece is One Piece is the longest running anime in Japan. That show has made changes, but it has not went from from the character development aspect to a comedy aspect.
No.
One Piece has stayed consistent where it's continuously producing character development, storyline after storyline after just everything. The people that started on episode 1, they are still happy with what's being produced today. And I'm just pulling up a Wikipedia page. It had aired in 1999 and it currently has over 900 episodes.
Wait. It came out in 1999?
Yeah.
Oh shit, dude! I remember watching that on Foxbox when they had the
four. Yeah, dude, it's my favorite Japanese anime. But we will leave the Japanese anime discussion to another episode.
Yeah,
but it goes to the show, you know, that there's these producers that's producing something consistently. Why isn't that being applied across the board on our side?
Because you know, it's weird because when you go look at anime, right? Look, just going. Anime literally goes into every genre. If you want to watch something that's purely comedy, you gotta stream of shows for that. You want drama, like school drama, watch that. You want a slice of life comedy, you got that. You want action, you got that. Adventure, you got that. You want any, like, anime is in every branch of entertainment, but when it comes to the Western audience, like to the West, it's, you don't see a lot of branching out. It's usually just into comedy or drama. You don't really got like a stream of shows that just goes into, like, if you want drama, a slice of life show, you got that. If you want action adventure, because right now action adventure is not, it's not really existing right now. Like, it died down around 2012. It died, like, once 2012 happened, you no longer got any, like, action adventure shows.
Mm-hmm.
Which is weird. Which is, like, that's what I'm seeing it. So, yeah. What's your opinion?
No, I agree with you there, and, honestly, I want everyone that's listening, I want their opinion. I want you guys to let us know what you think of this switch. What do you, especially if you guys are watching anime, before we start discussing anime, I want you guys to comment your thoughts on the consistency of anime. If you think there's consistency, because there's very long running anime, there's One Piece, there's Naruto. I mean, Bleach ran for a while.
They're bringing it back.
Naruto.
They're bringing it back. The show's coming back.
Yeah, but I can almost guarantee you that these are going to stay consistent and get the fans what the fans want. Whereas I don't agree that they're doing that with, you know, Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh, Ben 10. I don't think they're doing that. I want our viewers' opinions as to if they think the switch that's being done is okay, if they agree with it, if they're happy with the switch, and if they're not happy, why do you think there is the switch? I want you guys to let us know that. And once we gather everyone's opinion along with everyone's theory, we will have a second part to this episode. Because I'm sure there is a lot of theories that you guys have as to why the switch is occurring, along with a lot of opinions as to if the switch is good or the switch is bad.
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone that's listening there is also curious as to Johnny and I's opinion as to what you guys think is going on and if you guys think it's alright.
And if anyone like knows somebody that's working that industry, you know, and they made a vow of silence to not tell other people what they know. Just, you know, you can be anonymous. You can let us know. Just let us know what's going on. Just let us know. Don't worry. We will not tell anyone outside our friend group. All right. We won't tell no one outside our friend group. All right. We would keep it very, very tight. Just let us know.
Yeah. And with that being said, I think Johnny and I are going to sign off on this episode.
Yeah.
Look forward to reading everyone's comments and then planning the next episode of Two Broke Dudes in the NYC.
Mm-hmm. This is Johnny Facts.
And this is Axel.
Sign off.